pick was solid. I mean, I expect to make those plays, but I don't like giving up big plays. So, I mean, it happened. I can't remember the last time I gave one up. I definitely don't like the feeling. So, I'm going to get back to it, and it won't happen again.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Jalen Johnson. He did give up a big play, and he had a pick too, but he gave up a big play. It was surprising to see. And we should let you know that you can tune in today starting at 2 for the debut show for Spiegel and Holmes, and that is here on The Score. Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes will continue to react to the Bears' loss at Indy. They'll be joined by Kurt Warner at 3 p.m. and Jalen Johnson at 4:30.
Looking forward to that. Big show, big day for The Score. Spiegel and Holmes' first show in the afternoon. Jalen Johnson joins them at 4:30 because the Cubs are on at 5:05. They play in Philadelphia tonight. So that's why he's earlier than his typical 5 o'clock spot. He gave up a 44-yard completion to Alec Pierce. It shouldn't have happened the way that it happened. He ran right by him. There was no like fancy move. He ran right by him. And Pierce is a very fast receiver, 21.2 miles per hour in the opener. Remember that. But local guy made good as well. But Jalen Johnson knows that that's not going to happen. That's the exception to the rule. The Bears' defense, is it fair to say, Mully, they played well enough to win?
Jaquan Brisker came over to help out and couldn't. And he was the guy that said earlier in the week that he hoped they would throw deep, tell him to throw it my way.
That's why you don't say those things.
Well, that's why you don't.
You don't say those
try
things.
To avoid that
because
stuff.
Even though it might not have been Brisker's primary responsibility.
Well, they gave up 21 points, David. So, I mean, you're
not well enough to win? I'm asking that.
I mean, I would say that given the fact that the Bears have a 64% winning percentage when they allow 19 points over whatever it is the last 5 years, I would say that sounds good. That's actually the worst in the NFL. You should be closer to like 85%. So, no, it's not good to give up 21 points. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the defense did their job because they got run down a little.
Well, good. It's a good answer because that's what I was looking for. The defense didn't do its job well enough to win.
Nope.
It gets lost in the aftermath because the offense was so bad and the coaching was so bad that we overlooked the fact that the defense could have been better against a rookie quarterback. Well, he's essentially a rookie quarterback. It's his second year by, you know, service time only. So a lot of problems. The questions outnumber the answers right now for the Bears moving forward. I don't know how confident you feel in their ability to win more than they lose the way that we said coming into the season.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank, and we are going to get back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. We'll start with Jeff, who is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Speaking of earlier, the power rankings of Putrid are brought to you by Pepto-Abysmal. Ryan Pace, I believe two of you gentlemen, counting Dustin, had it correct, should be number one on that list, I believe. He didn't do a head coaching change this year. And with a new quarterback, bringing in an offensive coordinator or offensive-style head coach would have been probably the right choice to do. He traded away a second-round pick for Chase Claypool, which could now be our starting center, probably. And we've been pushed on Braxton Jones being good. He is not good. When you watch the All-22, you're going to see him on roller skates being pushed back into the pocket every time. And I believe he was rolled up on because his blocker rolled him up into Tevin Jenkins. And we have a 2024 draft pick that was supposed to be a game changer, but hasn't lived up to the billing yet or the hype. And it is not Caleb Williams. It is Torrey Taylor. He is not punting the ball inside the 10 and like we were promised he's going to be doing on a regular basis. I will give him kudos, though. He had a great hold on the field goal kick that was made. It was a high snap. He grabbed it, got it down, and it was made. That's my thoughts for today, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Ryan Poles is the guy that drafted Torrey Taylor, and obviously received a lot of criticism today for a lot of the decisions of the offensive line, Torrey Taylor. Torrey Taylor, before Sunday, I thought was okay.
I still like Torrey Taylor.
First two games, I thought that he was effective.
I think they should use him.
Yesterday wasn't a very good day.
No.
Yesterday he had...
He outkicked his coverage on one point,
Three. He only punted three times, so I thought it was more than that. Average of 42.3, the net 36.
They ran like 150 plays.
I know. 84.
Okay.
So let's not exaggerate.
I like to exaggerate.
You tend to maybe a little bit, especially on days like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Torrey Taylor's... I have to tell you, on the power rankings of Putrid, Torrey Taylor's down low on my list.
Yeah, he's not, I'm not looking at him. I'm not starting with him. I mean, listen, the run offense would be, I would start with that. And I would start with the designers and the people involved in that. And I would keep moving from there. But I thought that was a travesty.
Let's talk about
run offense was a disaster.
The two interceptions by Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I feel like the first one, Jalen Jones, you got to see that. He didn't anticipate that.
Yeah.
Steps right in front of DeAndre Carter. Jalen Jones gets the pick. It was a floater, second quarter.
It was a rookie mistake. Off balance.
Rookie mistake.
He didn't have his legs under him. It was a weak throw into the flat, and it really led directly to a touchdown.
No doubt about it. Now, the second one, I have differed with some people, both who I have communicated with and some of our, in our listening audience. I feel like it was thrown into double coverage, a little bit forced, intended for Adunze. Jones gets the deflection and gets a second pick of the day. Some people are suggesting, you know what, Rome should have come down with that one. And that was on him more than it was on Caleb. I think it was a forced throw. And, you know, every interception is a story into itself.
Well, that's it.
That one may be 50-50, but it's not a throw that I don't absolve the quarterback of that interception because it should have been caught.
312-644-6767. What about the strip sack?
That's a hard thing to put on a quarterback.
I always
think it's a hard thing to put on a quarterback. His awareness wasn't terrible. He stepped up in the pocket.
Yep.
Cole Kmet just got beat. Latu beat Cole Kmet and UCLA beat USC. Strip sack fumble. Colts recover. Boom. Drive ended.
Papa T is listening online. Hey, Papa.
Good morning, guys. Just got a couple of questions for you. Do you think they're going to fire Poles this season?
No.
Do you think they'll fire Flus this season? Do you think they'll fire their offensive coordinator this season?
You want somebody fired?
No. Yeah.
Too early to tell. But I don't think Ryan Poles is going to get fired this year. I don't know that I can say the same thing about the head coach, only because yesterday was that bad where you start to rethink everything. And if this trends in the wrong direction...
Yesterday was bad and the reaction was bad.
The reaction to the loss at the podium publicly was not a good look for the head coach.
Bad.
It was almost like he accepts that kind of performance and it's okay with him. I think you need to set a higher standard. You need to project a higher standard. And he didn't do that. Also, during the game, before you get to the public portion of the program, you might want to handle the private portion better, the in-game experience better. Improve it. Make decisions that make sense. Anticipate things happening. The last 2 weeks, Matt Eberflus has not covered himself in glory on the sideline. The challenge thing last week, the burn timeout again this week, not ready for the two-point conversion.
And if as you suggested, that his duties as defensive coordinator is getting in the way of those decisions, then you better make sure that you have someone who is in charge of those decisions.
Delegate. One side or the other, delegate. You either have to have an offensive coordinator or somebody in charge of anticipating the two-point conversion decision three plays before it happens, two series before it happens. The great managers in baseball are working four innings ahead. Do that. Or delegate your play calling on the defensive side of the ball. Eric Washington has done it before. That might be what they don't want to face because Flus is an elite play caller, according to people.
Okay, so if he is an elite play caller, then have Washington kind of do the do the running the team drills, okay? If he can't be your defensive coordinator and he can't be your play caller, have him deal with timeouts, etc. Mark is in Rockford. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good.
All right, listen, guys, I'll make this short and sweet. I've called before. The discussions with the organization, and they're going to go back to this whole thing with the Metaskeys. I've already done this. We've all talked about this.
We're trying to clean up the line a little, Mark. Sorry. I think we lost him.
I think he was going somewhere with the McCaskies being involved here. I don't know that yesterday I came away. I
thought George called a terrible
timeout. I didn't
think
anything about George. I didn't even think about George yesterday.
Okay.
Did you think about a McCaskey in the aftermath of that loss?
I did not.
In terms of responsibility, accountability.
I don't think I even mentioned a McCaskey, but I did mention that maybe the obsession with the stadium by the lakefront was getting in the way.
You did mention that.
It was a joke.
Because in pointing fingers in all directions up at Hallis Hall, it's just north of Lake Forest, and you could get away with being right. You're going to be right. Everybody in that building should feel like they had something to do with that awful loss yesterday. So George works in that building. Go ahead. Blame him, even though he had nothing to do with it.
She's pissed off.
She is too.
It was his bad officiating in that softball game from 2 weeks ago that really caught up with the Bears.
I think it's soccer.
Oh, okay.
Isn't he a soccer official?
He's an official. Steve is on the road. Hello, Steve.
Fellas, hey, I got a rules question for you.
Okay.
What's the difference in forward progress between the fumble that the Bears caught that got waved off and Sermon's touchdown? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, it's a good question because what's happened in recent years is that the rugby pile being pushed, the tush-push momentum movement, has allowed that to be a thing. So that is forward progress. It doesn't necessarily stop, but it is an inconsistency. I think that's a great call. In the same game where Trey Sermon was allowed to score when everybody kind of just, you know, the big pile moved, they whistled the play dead when Anthony Richardson was being converged on by Bear defenders. And I think it's all in an effort to protect the quarterback more than anything. And that's why they're more sensitive to quarterbacks being in those situations than maybe a running back like Sermon.
I wouldn't argue that. I think if you're going to claim that when a quarterback is still fighting and standing there, and you're he's not moving anymore, we're gonna blow a whistle. Wait, he fumbled. Oh, it doesn't count. Then what are you doing? Not calling the same.
I think
play?
It was a bad call. It's an inconsistency. Yeah. And let's face it.
I don't think it changed the game, though.
That was a Sermon that went on too long.
There you go. Rick is in Hardwood Heights. Hey, Rick.
Hi, guys. I got to tell you, first off, you guys are the greatest thing on sports radio. I've been listening to you guys since you were in Belmont. Actually, that's where I grew up, in that neck of the woods. Yeah. And my favorite time of the day is when you guys first come on. I love the pregame you guys do with your producer guy. But when you guys come on, you're back and forth. Just starts my day fantastic, then I can get off to work. Now, what I really want to say, besides giving you all the accolades, is our quarterback is a bust.
You don't think that might be premature?
No. I got to tell you this. This is going to be sounding crazy, but my dad was a professional gambler. I know a couple things about gambling. I saw this guy coming when they took him. Everybody and their uncle wants him. I took money with everybody. Bears are not going to make the playoffs. And I love the Bears. We've had season tickets since my grandfather. And I saw this kid coming. He didn't throw a pass. And he's talking all kinds of, I want equity in the Bears. I don't know.
He never said that.
He never said that. Appreciate the phone call and the nice words.
And God bless you. But I think that, you know, this has been going on since the NFL was founded. This is called quarterback development. This is the most important position on the field, and it takes a while to get going. And I know C.J. Stroud, even after, you know, struggling in the first few games, suddenly took off and he led his team to the playoffs. it is not unusual to look at the development of a quarterback as taking some time. I mean, some of the greatest quarterbacks out there, whether it's Peyton Manning or down in Dallas, you know.
Dak Prescott?
No, you know, earlier.
Aikman. Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm saying, not Dak.
It takes a while.
Bad day to be using Dak. Yeah, you're right. Aikman, Manning.
It takes a while. You gotta give a certain leeway. And this kid is, I mean, honestly, if you're being honest about it, I thought that he was doing more than I expected him to be doing at this point in the year.
I think I agree with you.
He's calling some blitz packages out. He's
more involved in the operation than I expected.
It's amazing.
And you know what? Maybe that's contributing to some of the inconsistency. We don't know. But yesterday, to come out of that and concluding that he's going to be a bust, I think is...
I don't have that
conclusion. I don't have that conclusion, even have that inkling to want to do that say that.
I'm not floozy, joy, all is good, and boy, was that – I'm not encouraged. He wasn't encouraged.
No, he definitely
– I found it a discouraging experience watching that game.
Discouraging overall.
Yes.
Individually, Caleb Williams showed some growth.
Yes.
His last 20 to 25 passes, I think, and it's remarkable to even say that. They threw
so many passes.
They threw 52 passes.
Yeah.
And even he was surprised. But I think that when you look at the way that he, even through the course of the game, looked more at – ease, looked more comfortable and more accurate. His accuracy has surprised me. He's been more inaccurate than I thought. That's been the most disappointing thing so far.
Listen, you know, it is going to take some time.
Okay.
That is the NFL. It usually takes a lot of time. And he's learning on the job. So, like, we've got to be patient. We haven't seen this before where a guy was learning on the job and actually got better. We haven't really seen that in Chicago. We've been rushing people and been just short of different things. This is just, you've got to learn to be patient with this. And by the end of the year, there will be a payoff.
It's good advice, Molly. It's smart advice, because even though I feel like with both of us and people who were pro Caleb, maybe the floor isn't as high as we thought it would be. But nothing about his play has changed how high I think the ceiling can go.
Yeah, I think they're going to get there eventually. They probably need to work on the line. They probably need to work on the defensive line. I think there's no doubt we got a pretty good feel for what is missing and what the draft will bear out for you. They'll have a decent pick, and then they'll have that Carolina pick, which could be fairly high. And
let's hope the pick isn't too decent.
If the Red Rifle doesn't ruin everything.
The Red Rifle could come to town and be, you know.
He could spoil the punch.
He could spoil the punch or the
we
party.
We had a Did You Miss Me Chicago signed Andy Dalton. So the Red Rifle apparently is listening.
He does. Well,
or maybe someone pretended to be him. I don't know. It's all a possibility. We'll be right back with your calls. It's Mully and On the Score.
And now the 1-1 to Tana. Fly ball right field toward foul territory. Over is Bush. Does he have a play? Leans in and makes a great catch. What a play by Michael Bush. He leaned over the tarp and then lunged into the netting and made a fantastic catch.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, and it's brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great. It's Mully and Haw. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and UC Bank. And we are taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. We'll start with Corey. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know what the previous caller was talking about, man. Caleb looks good in spite of some mistakes.
Yep,
but
right.
Hey, listen, if this goes off the rails, Poles could be gone. Flus is surely gone. But if they decide to keep Poles, he better drive up to I-94 and go get Ben Johnson from the Lions, somebody that can call some plays.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is going to be
interesting.
The top assistant available for head coaching vacancies in the offseason. Now, we're a long way from that in Chicago, but I think that the spirit of the phone call is correct. in that yesterday made you question everything about the Bears you thought you knew, especially coming into this season. Thought it was going to be different. When was the last time you were this excited? All the expectations about a franchise quarterback. Boom, dashed. One afternoon in Indy. Changed everything. And it shouldn't be that tenuous. It shouldn't be that fragile. But we're talking about the Bears here. So everything kind of is temporary. And it feels like this hope and confidence that was placed in them moving forward this season was temporary.
Well, I tell you what, like, you know, Matt Eberflus has got to turn this around or he is in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they have to make the playoffs, but I do feel like it's winning time and they need to prove that they can win more games than they lose. And if you get to the end of the year and that's not the case, there's going to be a call for some kind of movement. I don't believe for a second that Ryan Poles is in trouble.
I don't either.
I think he's done a good job of building up the team. Are they short at some spots? Yes. Should he have anticipated what's going on with the offensive line? I mean, just look at what they did on game day. The game day roster, they had three players who didn't play, which you always have your backup quarterback and you hope he doesn't play. And one's Tyson Bagent. They also had Bill Murray and they had Kieran Amagaji. So they had two offensive linemen they didn't even use. When they had an injured offensive lineman, when Tevin Jenkins went out, they brought in Nate Davis, who was...
He was healthy.
He apparently was healthy.
He was benched.
He was sidelined.
He was benched for Matt Pryor. Okay. Matt Pryor started in front of Nate Davis at right guard. Nate Davis did have a groin situation, which might have contributed to that. I don't know if Matt Eberflus fully explained that afterward.
Mm-hmm.
But when there was an injury, Nate Davis went into right guard. Matt Pryor moved over to left tackle. That's the position he played for the Colts, ironically enough. The Bears have issues on their offensive line.
But I mean,
that's a Ryan Poles problem.
The Nate Davis thing, you think about it, they wanted to replace him with Ryan Bates, who now is on is on injured reserve and won't be back probably until after
London.
London.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting to me. Nate Davis has got to wake up in a hurry or he's not going to have a job.
One would hope he gets healthier. He gets a little bit more engaged and involved.
There you go.
But I think the spirit of the phone call is good because it attaches some urgency to what happens next for the coaching staff. Urgency that, frankly, you didn't hear after the game from Matt Eberflus. I think Ryan Poles is safe. But let's face it, at the end of the year, if this is trending in this direction right now after three games, we know this. Ben Johnson and Brian Flores will be two of the most sought-after assistant coaches for head coaching vacancies in the NFL in the offseason.
Bobby Slowick is a guy that could be brought up. He obviously has a connection here in Chicago.
They lost yesterday.
I know they lost.
I'm just saying.
The Bears did, too.
I'm saying. I know. But
Pete? Okay, I'm sorry I brought him up. Pete is in Rockford. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Good.
I'm a little nervous in one aspect. I think Shane Waldron is getting exposed, and I'm going to tell you why. When he was in Seattle, he had Geno Smith, who was a starter in the NFL. He knew the speed of the NFL. And I think right now Shane Waldron is not really knowing what to call for Caleb Williams. I think he's getting nervous because he has a quarterback now that has not progressed as much. And I think – as Bears fans, we need to be a little bit concerned because is this going to be another he's destroying our quarterback kind of thing?
Well, Bears fans are concerned, no doubt about that. They're concerned about the offensive play caller.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. That's a Bears tradition.
Does Flusie get another play caller?
No. No.
So you should be concerned if you're connected to him.
Well, definitely. There's no scenario. I shouldn't say, you never say never in the NFL.
Right.
It's implausible to me to think that you're going to bring back Matt Eberflus if this season gets away from you badly enough to where you want to fire your offensive coordinator. If the season gets away from you badly enough to where you want to fire your offensive coordinator, chances are you're losing more than you're winning. And if that's the case in year three of the Matt Eberflus regime, he's probably going to go as well. That's just the way it works. You don't typically get three You don't typically have a head coach who lasts three losing seasons to get a chance to hire his third offensive coordinator.
But this is all premature.
It is premature.
But it all looks pretty bad.
But he asked a question. Here's the problem with Shane Waldron right now. Yes. He is like so many offensive coordinators in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get too cute. They want to try too hard to trick people. They want to play chess, and all it takes is checkers. It's so simple. You're at the 1 yard line.
And Shane Nagy could be in trouble.
Shane Nagy might be in trouble.
Wait, what do you say?
I don't know why you're going with Luke Waldron. I don't know why you have to go there.
Bear is in Southwest Michigan.
What's up, Bear?
Bear on the Bears. Hey, Bear.
Hey, guys. So let's talk about Swift. Living in Michigan, I've watched Swift for years with the Lions and whatnot, and that guy just isn't it. He's like the great value Reggie Bush, but softer.
I'd take Reggie Bush.
I wouldn't take soft Reggie Bush, but go ahead.
So, you know, why did Poles draft Roschon Johnson? I mean, the guy is a horse. You got to pound the rock with that guy. And he's an extra blocker in the backfield. I mean, the guy, when he came in, he changed the game a little bit yesterday. His blocking, his catching, pounding the rock up the middle. I mean, the guy's a beast. Let him be a horse. That's what you drafted him for, Poles.
Okay.
Thanks, Bear.
I don't know about this. The legend of Roschon Johnson. I get it.
Bear. That was a guy from the TV show.
Think that was him?
I'm convinced it sounded like him.
It did a little bit, did you?
I know he's.
I thought his football takes would be better.
Or at least I imagine.
I understand.
I hope he is.
Why you guys are down on DeAndre Swift?
Okay, he's not listening. What? Who? Listen.
You guys. You guys.
What are you? I'm just saying, you're just this passive voice.
I'm saying that I get it. I think he's been, but I think that running behind that offensive line, I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
As good as Roschon Johnson is purported to be,
All right, let me ask you a question.
Let's say you watched Saquon Barkley
yesterday.
I love Saquon
Let's
Barkley.
Let's say Saquon was here yesterday. Would he have been able to run behind that offensive line?
Very limited, unlikely.
Against that horrible defense that they were facing?
I don't know.
Delirious.
He would have gotten more yards. I'm delirious.
He would have gotten more yards
than DeAndre Swift, but not the point where they're a 100-yard game.
Let's get a thermometer in here. The man is feverish.
There are not holes to be run through. I don't see them. Maybe I need to watch closer or watch again, but...
Run down their throat. David is on the Odyssey app. Hey, David. Go with the big men. Big people.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. Ignore him.
Everyone else does.
Okay, so is this David in Oshkosh? Am I on?
Yes, David, you are on.
Outstanding. Yes. So, look, good morning, gentlemen. I have to tell you a couple things that will slow your roll a little bit. I remember listening to Bill Cowher get interviewed by Roy Firestone, and he said that every year it takes an O-line, even with the same guys, 4 to 6 weeks to get settled in. And I've watched that ever since, and it's true. And as far as the Bears' loss, I'm not losing it because every team that has the talent finally, to win has to learn to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a transition. And that's what we're going into. That's why Eberflus is positive, because they're just learning as a team how to win. And they'll get there, but it's not going to be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I am encouraged by what he does, the kid. And the O-line, I mean, they went with guys that had been there. And I understand that mentality, but I also understand it takes 4 to 6 weeks every year for the O-line to get settled in.
David, I appreciate where you're coming from.
David.
It's a rational point of view, and I remember Bill Cowher saying similar things, but Bears don't have 4 to 6 weeks. This team does not have 4 to 6 weeks. That's why preseason mattered more than it did. This team has the easy part of their schedule in the opening month or 4 to 6 weeks. You can't wait for them to get good. They need to be good Sunday against the Rams. You just can't be that patient.
They don't need to be good Sunday. They need to be good enough. They need to be able to play their defense, and they need to win a game at home against the Rams. And they can do that.
But saying that you have 4 to 6 weeks to wait for your offensive line is settling. It's sounding as complacent as Matt Eberflus sounded after the game. There's positives to be found.
No. It's time to win right now.
You got to treat this like a crisis.
I agree.
Because it is.
It's true. Patrick's in Lake Forest. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you today? I'll tell you, for me, this kind of goes back to the Hard Knocks. You know, we had a sepia-toned, lovely view of the Bears, and really it comes down to this, guys. Our head coach is a defensive coordinator. That's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to hire an OC. The McCaskies aren't interested in any kind of coach that will outshine them. And so all this talk about Caleb Williams is fine, right? All this talk about offensive line takes 4 weeks. I mean, I'll try with that with my boss. Give me 4 weeks to pull it together. It's ludicrous, right? I mean, give me a break, guys. You've done this your whole life. The whole idea is they don't have a professional OC. And why do you expect different? We're going to have meet guys. And Bill, the other thing, one more thing. This league is built for parity. They're going to win some games.
Yep.
Right? Last year, I called in and said, Eberflus is a disaster. He's not a head coach. Everybody said, oh, no, but look, he won a few games. The league is built for – nobody's going to go 16-17-0 or vice versa. The league is not built for that. But we're going to have mediocrity, and we're going to panic about Caleb Williams. This ownership is squandering the number one overall pick, and this idea that they're going to get public funds from distressed state and city economies is beyond ludicrous. So until the ownership changes, guys, I know this is not a very uplifting idea, but the idea that you're going to put a decent DC, which he is, he's a good defensive coordinator, and we're somehow going to turn that into a 20, let's enter the 21st century for offense, I don't see it. So I'll enjoy the 6-7 wins they get this year, but I'm not hoping for much more. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks for the phone call. Very interesting stuff. I don't see a connection between the Bears' on-field performance, whether it's good or bad, and their quest for public funds. That's not going to happen. There's no appetite for that. The governor's made it clear. Chris Welch has made it clear. That's a different story. On the field, yeah, they have got offensive coordinator issues. And the Hard Knocks comment was interesting because I got a couple of tweets from people that they said, one of them was, I feel cheated by Hard Knocks.
See, I think if you ran a Hard Knocks fan reaction, then you'd get all the swear words that were cut out of it. Am I right or what?
After yesterday,
a lot of cussing going on.
There
was a lot of cussing.
I think that would have been very difficult to bleep out and to edit out.
Yes.
A lot of cuss words on the cutting room floor.
Reggie is in Chatham. Hey, Reggie. It's terrible.
Hello. Hey,
bud.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I've been moved to call. Let me be the voice of reason. You know, I'm tired of seeing I'm a longtime Bears fan, childhood Bears fan, all right? Even though my dad was a Cardinal fan, but, you know.
Hey, they used to be the Chicago Cardinals. I'm sure he inherited that.
Right. Yeah, he got here 2 years before they won the championship in 47.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I get it, all right? Look, I'm tired of the talk about the revolving doors of firing people and moving people in and moving people out. You know, look, give the franchise a chance to develop. The Prince of the Finger Lakes, Ryan Poles, will figure out how to get things done. He is proven to be good at doing that, all right? So let him give him the opportunity to develop the offensive line, to develop this team into a cohesive factor so that they can be part of the black and blue division, okay? Because right now, we're the only team that lost yesterday in the black and blue division.
Yep.
That's right.
Vastly improved
Thanks,
division.
Reggie.
Thanks, Reggie. A lot of good points there.
Yep.
Look at the Lions. They bounced back against the Cardinals.
That's right.
The Vikings are being as well coached as any team in football right now.
That guy's coach of the year right now.
They're 3-0. And you know what? Matt LaFleur might be in the conversation because of what he's been able to do with Malik Willis.
No doubt about it.
So you're at a coaching deficit in your own division.
Yep.
You need to make that up quickly.
All right. I wish we could. I wish we could stay and take more calls, but unfortunately, we have to move on here.
We're going to move on, but before we do that, you can be the sixth caller. You can keep using your phone to the Scores Contest line 312-540-0670 and win a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett with special guests Tucker Wetmore and Dasha Better in Boots Tour next August 9th, 2025, Alpine Valley Music Theater, East Troy, Wisconsin.
What? We're giving away a gift for next year?
This is good planning. Everyone's got to make their calendar.
When did we suddenly get our ad?
312-540-0670.
All right, we got the great Mark Rohde will be with us next, and we'll talk to Dan. We're not afraid to talk to Dan.
No, we're not.
I don't know where that rumor got started. We'll talk to both Mark, yes, and Dan. And Dan's our guy, and we'll talk to him. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.